Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program is designed for English learners. We speak slowly, using simple sentences and a limited vocabulary. Today on the show, Jill Robbins brings us Ask a Teacher, and we close with an American story. We hear part two of Benito Sereno by Herman Melville. But first, here's Brian Lynn.
Japan's longest-serving Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, announced Friday he is resigning from office because of a health problem. The Japanese leader spoke with reporters about his decision. He said, faced with the illness and treatment, as well as the pain of lacking physical strength, I decided I should not stay on as Prime Minister when I'm no longer capable of living up to the people's expectations with confidence. Abe has long battled ulcerative colitis, a chronic or long-lasting bowel disease. This summer, he visited a Tokyo hospital 2 weeks in a row for medical exams. Abe said he now has a new treatment, but there is no guarantee that it will cure his condition. So he decided to resign as Prime Minister after treatment next Monday. It is gut-wrenching to have to leave my job before accomplishing my goals, Abe said Friday. He noted his failure to settle the issue of Japanese kidnapped by North Korea, a territorial dispute with Russia, and amending Japan's constitution. Abe's resignation marks the end of a period of stability in a country famously known for changing prime ministers. During his years in office, Abe pulled Japan out of an economic recession, although the coronavirus crisis has weakened the economy. He built up strong ties with the United States and President Donald Trump. But Abe's support of nationalist policies unsettled China, as well as North and South Korea. His goal of rewriting the U.S.-drafted pacifist constitution failed because of poor public support. Although Abe is leaving office with some of his political goals unfinished, he continued to expand Japan's defense capability to react to the needs of the United States. For those who believe the Japan-U.S. alliance is paramount, that was his major achievement, said Koichi Nakano, an international politics professor at Sophia University in Tokyo. Abe is expected to stay on until a new party leader is elected and approved by the parliament. Shinzo Abe is from a family long active in politics. His grandfather was former Prime Minister Nobusuke Kishi. Abe became Japan's youngest Prime Minister in 2006, at age 52. The term ended a year later because of his health. He returned to power in December 2012. In all, he won 6 straight national elections. This coming Monday, Abe will become Japan's longest-serving prime minister in terms of consecutive days in office. He will break the record of Isaku Sato, his great-uncle, who served 2,798 consecutive days as prime minister from 1964 to 1972. After his recent hospital visits were reported, top officials from Abe's cabinet and the ruling party said he was overworked and badly needed rest. There are several politicians interested in becoming prime minister. They include Shigeru Ishiba, a 63-year-old former defense minister, former foreign minister Fumio Kishida, defense minister Taro Kono, chief cabinet secretary Yoshihide Suga, and economic revitalization minister Yasutoshi Nishimura. Abe said he will focus on his treatment for now and continue his political activity and support a new administration as a lawmaker. I'm Brian Lynn.
In 2020, a year unlike any other, get ready for a U.S. Open unlike any other. Ask American tennis great Serena Williams. She spoke with reporters about playing during a pandemic. In the beginning, I was like, "There is no way these tournaments can even happen," she said. Professional tennis returned recently after a break of nearly 6 months because of the coronavirus health crisis. The sport will return to one of its biggest stages Monday, when Flushing Meadows in New York begins holding the first Grand Slam events since the Australian Open ended in February. There are going to be a lot of people around the world who think we should not play tennis, that no public gathering should happen. "I understand that fully, I really do," said Novak Djokovic, the sport's top-rated men's player. "But you know," he added, "I think there also is going to be quite a lot of people that are going to be happy to see tennis keep going." Djokovic caught COVID-19 in June during a series of tennis matches he organized in Serbia and Croatia. The United States Tennis Association set up what it calls a controlled environment for the 2020 U.S. Open. Nearly all players and people traveling with them are staying in two hotels on New York's Long Island. They are not permitted to enter Manhattan. The players are tested often for the coronavirus. One player said she was tested just after sunrise, 4 hours before she was to play at the Western and Southern Open. Usually played in Ohio, the Western and Southern Open is now being played on the same grounds as the U.S. Open. There are more than 20 social distancing ambassadors who keep their eyes on the players at all times to make sure they are covering their mouths and noses and staying far apart. Serena Williams noted that the rules are very strong, but added, "It definitely helps me to feel safe." The U.S. Open traditionally ends the Grand Slam season. This year, the event is going second because the French Open was postponed from May until late September, and Wimbledon was canceled for the first time since World War II. "It's been so long," said American player Taylor Fritz, speaking of the nearly 6-month delay. He added that everyone is pleased to be back out there. Well, not quite everyone will be back out there. No one will be watching from the seats. Last year, more than 700,000 people attended the U.S. Open. And several top players, including both 2019 winners, Rafael Nadal and Bianca Andreescu, will not be there. Roger Federer is not playing. He has had two knee operations. The number one ranked woman, Ash Barty, chose not to play because of the coronavirus. Six of the top eight women will not play. The competition is a little weaker than normal, Fritz said, so there's always an opportunity for a couple of people to step up. Williams is hoping to win a 24th Grand Slam singles championship, which would tie the record. The woman who beat her in the final 2 years ago, Naomi Osaka, is also playing this year. Djokovic decided to play about a week before flying to New York. He has won five of the past seven Grand Slam finals to get to a total of 17 wins. It is definitely strange not to have Federer and Nadal, at least one of them, Djokovic said. They will be missed, without a doubt.
Today, we answer a question from Ahmed in Egypt. He writes, I would like to know the exact meaning of beyond and its uses and the difference between it and behind. Thanks in advance. Dear Ahmed, thank you for writing. While the words beyond and behind are similar, there are important differences between them. Beyond can be an adverb, a word that changes the meaning of a verb, or a preposition, a word that shows location. As an adverb, it means at a further distance, as in this example. From my window, I can see the city lights and the mountains beyond. It can also mean to or until a later time, or in the future, as in this sentence. People need to know math through their school years and beyond. In the Toy Story movies, the astronaut Buzz Lightyear has a favorite saying, to infinity and beyond. That expression means he is willing to go very far in exploring space. As a preposition, you can use beyond to talk about a place or location at a greater distance than when using the word behind. There was a dog barking behind the fence, and beyond him, two children were playing. Behind can be used as an adverb, preposition, or noun. As an adverb, it means in or toward the back of something. For example, you may have seen a family of ducks walking in a line. The mother duck came first, with the baby ducks following behind. But note that you could not use beyond in that sentence. Another use of behind is when describing something that is not happening on time. During the pandemic, many people got behind on their rent. That is, the rent payments were arriving late. You probably are familiar with the use of behind as a preposition, meaning at the back or rear of something. But it can also mean in the past, as in these examples. After winning the lottery, her financial problems were all behind her. Your old clothes are just behind the times. Now, let me test your understanding of behind and beyond in a quiz. Choose the right words to complete this sentence. Mail deliveries usually fall blank around the winter holidays, but they improve blank the new year. Are you ready? If you chose behind for the first blank and beyond for the second blank, you know the difference. I hope that helps to answer your question, Ahmed. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher for this week. I'm Jill Robbins.
Today, we continue the story, Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. Last week, we told how African slaves on a Spanish ship rebelled in 1799. They killed most of the Spanish sailors. Only the captain, Benito Sereno, and a few others were left alive. The leader of the rebellion was a slave named Babo. He ordered Captain Sereno to sail the ship back to Senegal, the slaves' homeland. But food and water were low, so the ship stopped at an island off the coast of Chile to get the needed supplies. When it arrived, an American ship was in the harbor. The American captain, Amasa Delano, thought the Spanish ship might be in trouble. He would offer help. Babo decided to remain close to Captain Sereno and act as if he were the captain's slave. Babo would kill him if he told Captain Delano the truth about what happened. Now, here is Shep O'Neill to continue our story.
As Captain Delano came up in his whaleboat, he saw that the other ship needed scraping, tarring, and brushing. It looked old and decayed. He climbed up the side and came aboard. He was quickly surrounded by a crowd of black men. Captain Delano looked around for the man who commanded the ship. The Spanish captain stood a little way off, against the main mast. He was young-looking, richly dressed, but seemed troubled and tired with the spirit gone out of him. He looked unhappily toward his American visitor. At the Spanish captain's side stood a small black man with a rough face. Captain Delano struggled forward through the crowd, went up to the Spaniard, and greeted him. He offered to help him in any way he could. Captain Benito Sereno returned the American's greeting, politely, but without warmth. Captain Delano pushed his way back through the crowd to the gangway. He told his men to go and bring back as much water as they could, also bread, pumpkins, sugar, and a dozen of his private bottles of cider. The whaleboat pushed off. Left alone, Captain Delano again observed with fresh surprise the general disorder aboard the ship. Some of the men were fighting. There were no deck officers to discipline or control the violent ones, and everyone seemed to do as he pleased. Captain Delano could not fully understand how this could have happened. What could explain such a breakdown of order and responsibility? He asked Don Benito to give him the full story of his ship's misfortunes. Don Benito did not answer. He just kept looking at his American visitor as if he heard nothing. This angered Captain Delano, who suddenly turned away and walked forward to one of the Spanish seamen for his answer. But he had hardly gone 5 steps when Don Benito called him back. "It is now 190 days," Don Benito began, "that the ship sailed from Buenos Aires for Lima with a general cargo, pedigree, tea, and the like, and a number of Negroes, now not more than 150, as you see, but then numbering over 300 souls. The ship was officered and well manned, with several cabin passengers, some 50 Spaniards in all. Off Cape Horn we had heavy gales." Captain Sereno coughed suddenly and almost collapsed. He fell heavily against his body servant. "His mind wanders," said Babo. "He was thinking of the disease that followed the gales, my poor, poor master. Be patient, senor. These attacks do not last long. Master will soon be himself." Don Benito recovered, and in a broken voice continued his story. "My ship was tossed about many days in storms off Cape Horn, and then there was an outbreak of scurvy. The disease carried off many whites and blacks. Most of my surviving seamen had become so sick that they could not handle the sails well. For days and nights we could not control the ship. It was blown northwestward. The wind suddenly left us in unknown waters with oppressive hot calms. Most of our water was gone, and we suffered terribly, especially after a deadly fever broke out among us. Whole families of blacks and many Spaniards, including every officer but myself, were killed by the disease." Don Benito paused. He looked down at the black man at his side. Babo seemed satisfied. The Spanish captain saw him take his hand from the knife hidden under his shirt. Captain Delano saw nothing. His mind was filled with the terrible tale he had just heard. Now he could understand why the other captain seemed so shaken. He took Don Benito's hand and promised to give him all the help possible. He would give him a large, permanent supply of water, and some sails, and equipment for sailing the ship. And he also promised to let Don Benito have 3 of his best seamen for temporary deck officers. In this way, the San Dominique could, without delay, start for Concepcion. There, the ship could be fixed and prepared for its voyage to Lima. Don Benito's face lighted up. He seemed excited by Captain Delano's generous offer. But Babo appeared troubled. "This excitement is bad for master," Babo whispered, taking Don Benito's arm and with soothing words gently drawing him aside. When Don Benito returned, Captain Delano observed that his excitement was gone. Captain Delano decided to talk of other matters, but the Spanish captain showed no further interest. He answered Captain Delano's questions with sharp words, and suddenly, with an angry movement, he walked back to Babo. Captain Delano watched the two men whispering together in low voices. It made an ugly picture, which Captain Delano found so extremely unpleasant that he turned his face to the other side of the ship. Their actions made Delano suspicious of Captain Sereno. He began to wonder about him, his behavior, his coughing attacks, his weakness, his empty, wild looks. Was he really half mad, or a faker playing a part? One moment Captain Delano had the worst suspicions of Don Benito, but the next he felt guilty and ashamed of himself for having such doubts about the man. Presently, Don Benito moved back toward his guest, still supported by his servant. His pale face twitched. He seemed more nervous than usual, and there was a strange tone in his husky whisper as he spoke. "May I ask how many men you have on board, senor?" Captain Delano became uneasy, but answered, "About 25 all total." "And at present, senor, all on board?" "All on board," Captain Delano answered. "And will be tonight, senor?" At this last question, Captain Delano looked very seriously at Don Benito, who could not return the look, but dropped his eyes to the deck. Captain Delano could think of only one reason for such a question, but no, it was foolish to think that these weak and starving men could have any idea of seizing his ship. But still, he remained silent. "And will they be aboard tonight?" Again, the question from Don Benito. Captain Delano decided to answer truthfully. Some of his men had talked of going off on a fishing party about midnight, and he told Don Benito this. As he answered, Captain Delano again looked straight at Don Benito, but the Spanish captain refused to meet his eyes. Then, as before, he suddenly withdrew with his servant, and again the two men began whispering to each other in low voices. Captain Delano tried to push the worry from his mind, but what were those two strange men discussing? That will be our story next week.
And that's our show. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with another Learning English program on the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Katie Weaver.